To weekly business podcast by Ruhi. Today I'm joined by Jason Peterson, who is the chairman of Go Digital Media Group, Sync Music, Vida Primo, CEO of Content Bridge Systems and Acher, amongst many other accomplishments. So hi Jason, would you be willing to kind of share a quick introduction about who you are and what you do?
Sure, thanks for having me. I founded Go Digital Media Group 15 years ago. The other firms that you mentioned are all subsidiaries of Go Digital. We have 19 legal entities operating around the world now across three different verticals that are all related to intellectual property rights management. We're in music, we're in television networks, and we're in commerce. The center of the wheel for us traditionally has been buying and managing music rights. So when you hear music, anywhere, whether it's streaming online on Spotify or Apple, on YouTube, at a concert venue, in a bar or gym, on TV, there's a royalty typically owed to whoever owns the music. And the core of our business traditionally has been buying those music rights and going out and collecting those royalties. In the last 3 or 4 years, we've branched out into what we call networks, which is really the new incarnation of television, right, which is delivered over the top. Multi-platform, hybrid, linear, and on-demand experiences, just like Hulu or HBO Max or Disney Plus or Netflix. We have our own set of networks that we've built. And we have a third vertical in commerce, where we operate several online retailers and we manage brands that that sell products.
Wow, that's fantastic. So essentially, it's kind of Go Digital Media and all kind of varying different companies under that brand. And then mainly you kind of do royalties and music rights. So my first question was, how was your journey like founding all these various companies and also as a chairman of Go Digital Media Group?
The genesis of the company actually started about 5 years before the company was founded. I was in business school at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles. This was around the year 2000. And I did a business school project where I forecasted the paradigm shift from physical goods like CDs and DVDs to digital goods. And this was pre-iTunes, right? And pre-iPhone. And I was looking at regular cell phones, not smartphones, just regular cell phones and MP3 players and Sony Walkmans, Discmans, going, why would you carry two? And it turned out that that project was very prescient in that 3 years later, iTunes launched. 5 years later, the Apple iPhone launched. YouTube launched in 2005 as well. And I was at that time in law school, and I was watching what was happening in the world. Essentially, the forecasts that I had made were coming to fruition. And I thought that I really should do something about this since I had an understanding of what was happening. And at the time, I had produced a bunch of motion pictures and commercials and music videos. And I was seeing the music industry collapse. From the outside as a vendor producing videos for all the major labels and major independent labels, EMI, Universal, Sony, Warner, so on. And it turns out that one of the guys I produced my first movie with was doing another movie with a recording artist at the time who was very famous named Master P. And it was him, Jay-Z, and P. Diddy, who were the big three in the United States in hip-hop and urban music. And Master P had a label named No Limit that was one of the most, if not the most successful hip-hop label in the late 90s. And he was cast in this movie that my friend Ryan Seashore was making. And they were sitting around the water cooler one day on set. And Master P says to Ryan, I know this digital thing is happening. I'm not sure what to do about it. And Ryan says, well, my buddy Jason has some ideas. You should talk to him. So I met Master P. Ryan set a meeting up, and I met Master P at Jerry's Famous Deli in Westwood in Los Angeles, which is no longer there. But he walked in and he had this big persona in the public, of fast cars, big entourages, lots of jewelry. He was one of the early guys that had a grill, if you know what that is. It's like diamond encrusted teeth. And he walked in with no entourage, no jewelry, looking like a normal person, by himself. He did turn his BlackBerry at the time off on Suge Knight, who was the founder of Death Row Records. And he sat down and listened to me talk for a couple of hours and was kind enough to give me a 5-year worldwide exclusive deal to do all his digital distribution on nothing but an idea. This was essentially another entrepreneur, Master P, Percy Miller is his real name, is a consummate entrepreneur. And I think he saw that in me and he decided to take a risk on me. And I called Apple the next day, iTunes, and told them if they wanted Master P's music that they'd have to get it through me, and got a deal in 24 hours. And that was the genesis of Go Digital Media Group.
Wow, that's amazing. You shared a very inspirational story of how one meeting kind of changed your life.
Absolutely.
So my next question was kind of on along those same lines of digital content and digital distribution. So could you share a bit on of strategies on how to monetize and then also how to kind of grow your digital content and help and maybe like also on the lines of organic reach as well?
Strategies for monetizing digital content and growing audience are very diverse depending on the type of content, type of audience you're dealing with. For music, I always say that you either need incredibly popular content or you need an absolute ton of content. And if you're very lucky, if you're Universal Music, then maybe you have both. It's difficult to be in the middle. There's a burgeoning middle class, but there has not been a middle class in music in like 15 years since CD sales started to fall off in the Napster era. And so if you look at most music libraries, 5 to 10% of the content does 90% of the engagement, 90% of the revenue. So if you're in music, my suggestion is focus on making hits. And in a way, this applies to all kinds of content. It applies to video games, applies to television, applies to movies. We have a finite amount of entertainment time and money as consumers. That's not changing very fast. It got a bit of a shock to the system with COVID, and there was some significant increase in available viewing time or streaming time. But in general, that doesn't change very fast. We only have 24 hours in a day. However, in the last 20 years, as the internet has proliferated and smartphone devices, which are media players, have proliferated, the amount of choice available to us for that finite time and money has more than exponentially proliferated, right? Everything ever made is available on demand. Whether it's a video game, music, video content like a movie or television show, or user-generated content, doesn't matter. Everything ever made is available on demand as a general rule. And there's something like 250,000 albums a week being delivered and released on platforms like Spotify and Apple Music. So you really have to focus on making hits. It's a singles business right now. My strongest suggestion for musicians is it's a collaboration culture. Get out there, find other recording artists and musicians who have an audience of their own and collaborate with them and cross-pollinate your audience. This is how a lot of the web stars became popular. This is how most of the recently popular musicians have done it. If you look at like the Latin market, for example, guys like Bad Bunny, Ozuna, Anuel, they collaborated with those people who came before them who were already popular. Nadia Natasha, Carol G, this is how they came up. And so I think that's the single most effective strategy, is to collaborate with somebody who's already popular in the areas of television and such. the dynamic's a little bit different, right? If you're in a subscription network, it's not really about the popularity of any particular show. It's about making a show, at least one show, that is so culturally significant that people subscribe to the service. And it's about the total lifetime value of that customer relative to the cost to acquire them. It's not really about whether they consume a lot of content on the service or not. The beautiful thing about the television business model, the cable television business model, which we now call subscription video on demand, which would be like a Netflix, is that we pay for all the content as consumers that we don't watch, right? You could watch 24/7 and you don't, and you still pay your $10 or $15 a month for the SVOD service, or if it's cable, you know, in the US, then we're $40 to $150 a month, depending on the bundle. And so that's a very different business model, you know, in video, where the production costs of a big show like Westworld or Game of Thrones for HBO are being subsidized by the wider set of consumers. It may not actually earn out on its own, but it's culturally significant enough that it drives subscribership. In terms of monetization, subscription businesses are the absolute best way to go. Get to know your consumer. If you're an artist, build a fan club. You can monetize the fan relationship in so many different ways. The closer to the customer you can get, the better. You know, one of the things that Netflix has done really well is disintermediate the studio system. The studios like Warner Brothers and Paramount didn't traditionally have a customer relationship. They worked through retailers and intermediaries like Walmart or Target or Tesco or whoever in a given territory. And those were the companies that had customer relationships. Netflix went straight to consumer, disintermediated everybody, and then built backwards into production to become a studio and completely disintermediated the studios. So build a customer relationship and you'll be able to monetize that relationship depending on, you know, in different ways, depending on who you are and what your value proposition is.
Wow, that's some fantastic insight you've shared today on how musicians can kind of accelerate and kind of monetize their content as well as, yeah. So thanks a lot for sharing on that side as well. So my next question was, so what's your best advice for any entrepreneurs out there?
My best advice is perhaps a little unorthodox, but I think it's really important for entrepreneurs. As human beings, all of us, 100% of us, experience trauma in our lives. Whether it's being bullied in high school, whether it's parents getting divorced, all kinds of getting in a car accident, all kinds of things. And it is incredibly common for people to develop subconscious, fear-based holding patterns in their lives as a result of being traumatized. And I'd say the vast majority of people, 90%+ of people, many of which who want to be entrepreneurs, who've invented something that could change the world, are not successful at bringing it to market and building a business that can make that positive change in the world, because they are afraid of rejection. They're afraid of what people might think of them, of their invention. They're afraid of having to defend their ideas and stand up for themselves. And that almost always, not always, but almost always, comes from trauma that people have experienced and our innate need for a sense of self-worth and belonging. And so my advice to people who want to be entrepreneurs is, get into therapy, make time for yourself to explore your psychology, to really understand if you have fear-based holding patterns in your life. I cannot tell you how many entrepreneurs I have met who have great ideas. Some of them have invented amazing products that they have prototypes for, and they don't successfully bring them to market because they are too afraid of what might happen, typically rejection. And they've got to metabolize that fear-based holding pattern. So in short, my advice is make sure that you are not stuck in any kind of fear-based holding pattern. And the only way to do that is through various types of therapy like rapid eye movement desensitization, image transformation therapy, dynamic breath work, PEAT method. There's a whole bunch of different methods that allow people to rewire the nervous system and the brain so they can literally change the way they feel. And when you change the way you feel, you change the way you view the world and you change the way you act. And fear has no place in a successful entrepreneur.
Wow, that's some very powerful advice you've shared on entrepreneurship and all. So now my next question was, so what is the future of some of the companies that you're running?
Well, our music company is on its way to become what we like to call the fourth major label. Our networks division, we like to analogize to becoming the next Viacom. Viacom's a U.S. company that owns a lot of specialty cable channels, MTV, music television, MTV, BET, Comedy Central, Nickelodeon, channels that are built for specific audiences. And in commerce, you know, we're looking to grow that division into managing marquee brands that that deliver products that delight audiences around the world.
Wow, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for your time. It was an absolute pleasure having you on the show. So yeah, and also do share how the audience can get in touch with you if they want to take things further.
You can find me on LinkedIn if you search for Jason Peterson, Go Digital. I believe the profile is LinkedIn/JASONPET, which is the first three letters of my last name, Jason Pett. You can also go to our website, which is godigitalmg.com, M as in media, G as in group, and you can find me there.